Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Women Who Travel is a transported podcast for anyone curious about the world. We talk to adventurers and athletes.
I've raced the God's Own Adventure Race, which is on the South Island and goes through the mountains down in the Southern Alps on New Zealand. That was 8 days spent out in the wilderness.
And chefs.
Iranian food is home, it's family, it's love.
And we share dispatches from our listeners.
Ireland is full of these, I will call them ghosts of the past.
From stampeding elephants to training sled dogs. We hear it all.
The dogs will curl right up with you, and it can be kind of cozy waiting things out.
New episodes of Women Who Travel publish every Thursday. Join us wherever you listen.
Something is creeping in. Don't follow it down.
Let me introduce you to Barry Clue, an authorised financial advisor from New Zealand and a very special kind of stain on humanity.
He was a very knowledgeable young guy.
He was a registered financial advisor.
Type of guy that was bending over backwards to help you.
Now, you could be forgiven for thinking that Barry sounds like a great guy. And you'd be right. Well, right up until the point when you're wrong.
It was all fictitious.
She stole from my son, who has a disability.
Chris never knew. He died believing that we're all taken care of.
A psychopath is somebody who lacks empathy, acts impulsively. I think there's a strong case that Barry might be all of those things, actually.
To find out how Barry Clue stole over $15 million from 81 victims, subscribe to Clueless, The Long Con. That's Clueless, spelt K-L-O-O-G-H-L-E-S-S.
Okay, so then what happens?
So much more happened.
How much more?
That we're going to have to...
Oh, another two-parter?
Another two-parter.
Okay, wow. Pack your body bags. We're back. Another Slaycation, part two of an episode that takes us to the Panamanian jungle. I'm your host, Adam Tex Davis. I'm joined by my wife, Kim.
Hello.
And my partner here, Jerry.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm just like chomping at the bit to get to the end of this episode, find out what happened to our young girls in the jungle. Kim or Jerry, give me a... Want to do a quick...
Kim, you want to do it or you want me to do it?
You go ahead, Jerry. You do the honors.
All right. So first, just listen to part one. That'll actually give you the whole lowdown. But the quick recap is...
Yes, that's the key.
Chris and Lizanne, two young, very excited, optimistic, ambitious young women from the Netherlands, have saved up for a six-week vacation in Panama. They've toured around for a couple of weeks. And then they're spending their last month in Boquete, where they're going to work with local children, learn Spanish, and just relax and have a good time.
What could go wrong?
Just live their best vacation lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They went to start work at the children's school. They were told they couldn't start for another week. So they decided to do a little touring around. They've gone on a local trail that should be a couple of hours out and back. And a day later, the local guide Feliciano, who's supposed to take them on another tour, notices they don't show up.
They don't show up.
And the authorities have been alerted. There's been searches. And all we know is 10 weeks later, a backpack was found by a river containing their phones, a camera, a bottle of water, two bras, and something else.
I think it was a pair of shorts, neatly folded.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
Okay, so that's the recap. They found this backpack, got phones, got camera. They tried to reach out to emergency services. They tried to make calls. There's pictures. Then what happened?
A search happens because... Now they found something.
Right.
The authorities know.
And it restarts another mm-hmm. search.
And they go, okay, well, the backpack was found by the river.
Search by the river.
Shorts folded also.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Okay, so they're searching by the river now, I assume.
And in that vicinity, they happen upon a pelvis.
Pelvis?
A pelvis.
Holy shit.
Yes. And a foot still intact. In a boot.
Okay.
And DNA would confirm this as the remains of Chris and Lisanne.
Mm-hmm.
The body parts were one from each, or
there's a little bit of this,
they found the pelvis belonged to Chris, mm-hmm. and the foot, the severed foot, was Lisanne, and it was confirmed by using DNA from their parents.
Gotcha.
So on August 2nd, searchers also found a rib belonging to Chris, and on August 28th, a leg, I think the left femur and left tibia, was found.
Yikes.
Yeah.
And this does it look like it's like severed or animals or?
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. The Panamanian authorities, of course, are saying.
Right. They ruled that the deaths
was an accident.
Was a tragic accident.
And this is what happened. They went in the river. The river tore up the bodies.
Yeah. Gotcha. They suspect that they went off the path, got lost, and got swept up in the current of the river.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so then they say the pictures that we've seen must have been something was stalking them at night, like a jaguar or something. Mm. So they were trying to scare it. And the pin stuff is explained that the trying to get in the phone with the wrong pin, they say, oh, well, Chris probably died first and Lizanne
tried to use the other phone.
So, so it all, you know, there's clear explanations of all this. The only weird thing that's noted from the findings of the bones is
that. You're talking about the bleach.
Yeah. So right. Chris's bones appear to have been bleached, right?
Oh.
Like they're brighter for some reason. Mm-hmm.
Brighter,
than
there's no skin. They just look like bleached bones. And then Lizanne's, there's like a foot in her boot and there's skin on the leg. The authorities note that, but they don't really make anything of it.
Right. But Kim, you're off the hook because you don't use bleach for...
Thank you.
I will say that nothing has set off like alarm bells, like murdery. You know, it does feel like lost in the woods, something bad happened.
And
yeah,
you're
in the jungle.
That's what investigative journalist Jeremy Kreit had pretty much indicated in his expose for the Daily Beast. His findings determined that it was a tragic accident of camping gone wrong or hiking gone amok.
But then
this journalist actually discovered that some of the key sources that contributed to his article had actually lied to him and told him it was an accident, was telling others that it was murder.
Wait,
yeah.
Who are these key sources? Are these the same people that said they saw them in the village?
I don't know if it's the same people, but it's locals, you know.
All right, so he goes down there to this area where that woman found the stuff. And
Right.
Okay. And the other thing is when you start hearing, oh, it wasn't an accident, you start looking back and going, well, why are the bones of one of them bleached?
Right.
Why is there a missing photo, you know?
Right.
What's this missing photo about? Was someone trying to use their phone?
Mm-hmm.
And all these things.
Why
now
were their
take
phones working?
Meaning.
If their bodies were ripped apart by a river so violent that it ripped them from limb to limb.
Right.
How come their phones were A, intact, and B, still able to have stuff, you know,
that
checked on
true.
Them? So these are the things you start to look back when you start hearing maybe it wasn't an accident. Things start to look a little different.
Right. They both had backpacks? Or just
they only found that one
backpack.
Which is incidentally not a backpack that appears on either of them in any photo of them.
Oh.
Prior.
Oh.
So either they borrowed a backpack or this backpack has absolutely nothing to do with them.
Okay.
I mean, and the other thing too is that murder of women and young girls in these parts are not all that uncommon.
Huh. They don't put that on the brochure.
No.
Was just in this little 40-mile area where this happened.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's more than 50 women and girls have gone missing between Bocas and Boquete since 2009.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
And this is if you take that wrong trail off that mountain.
I don't know if it's if you take that wrong trail. It's just the vicinity. It's not an unusual occurrence for a young woman or a girl be found dead or be missing.
Okay.
In fact, in February of 2017, a graduate of Columbia University, Catherine Johannes, went missing and was found murdered along a trail in Panama.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been another episode, but whatever. Bonus. Okay, so this sucks. where are we?
there's definitely been some conversation that maybe this wasn't an accident.
Right.
Okay. So now we have three possibilities, right? So either these girls went up the mountain, came back down, were seen in Boquete, and then somehow were abducted or something happened.
Right.
Right. That's one option.
Yep.
Another option is it's an accident. Yep. You know, they either fell off the cliff or maybe they... Oh, well, here's the other interesting thing to mention is the bones are found as far as 12 kilometers or something. Like it was 12 or 14 kilometers from where they were from the trail.
Yeah.
So it's extremely unlikely that they were able to hike that far through this area without food, without water, you know, all this stuff, right? Sure, it's a possibility that they went the wrong way down, wandered for 7 or 8 days and died and ended up in the river. Possibility three is they went down the wrong side of the mountain, ran into the wrong person, and someone took advantage of vulnerability. And then the fourth option is that they were on this trail and someone had a specific plan to do something with them, right? To abduct them or whatever.
The guy with the boat.
Not the guy with the boat. No.
Okay, that was just a red herring.
So you have all these...
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy's done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
Listen to Murder in the Hollywood Hills for free each week or subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or DatelinePremium.com to unlock new episodes 1 week early.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Women Who Travel is a transported podcast for anyone curious about the world. We talk to adventurers and athletes.
I've raced the God's Own Adventure Race, which is on the South Island and goes through the mountains down in the Southern Alps on New Zealand. That was 8 days spent out in the wilderness.
And chefs.
Iranian food is home, it's family, it's love.
And we share dispatches from our listeners.
Ireland is full of these, I will call them ghosts of the past.
From stampeding elephants to training sled dogs. We hear it all.
The dogs will curl right up with you, and it can be kind of cozy waiting things out.
New episodes of Women Who Travel publish every Thursday. Join us wherever you listen.
Options of what happened. So one thing I want to go back and say, now that we know that there's possibility that this was foul play, on April 4th, which is
a couple of days,
couple days after they've gone missing, before the parents are there.
Right.
The search has begun.
Uh-huh.
A few days after the girls go missing.
Right.
There's a search going on.
Yeah.
A local in his 20s named Osman.
Okay.
Young, athletic guy is helping with the search. There with his family helping. They all went back to the car. He said, I have to go pee down by the river. He doesn't come back for a while. They go down there. They find him drowned by the river.
Oh.
Yeah.
Could have been another episode.
But the position you see him in, because apparently in Panama, by the way, they don't have any issues with putting pictures of dead bodies in the newspaper.
Yeah, it's pretty
graphic.
It's like crime scene photos.
Like the whole
right
thing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So.
They don't even use the black bar.
No. Oh.
No, just people, dead people.
Right.
So the position he's in by the river struck both Kim and I as very strange because it looked like he was doing something, right? It didn't look like someone...
It looked very unnatural.
Yeah, and so they actually noted that...
He's in the water or is he on the land?
Well, he'd been pulled onto the land.
Oh, okay.
But the position he's in, they note, is more typical of someone who's been killed on land and then thrown in the water to make it look like a drowning.
Gotcha. Right, right.
So...
Something else Panama is famous for.
So they decide, we'll just call this a drowning. But then on his phone is a photo
of the girls.
Right.
Yeah. It's a very blurry, crappy flip phone photo, but you clearly see two white girls, one with dark hair, one with sort of blondish red hair, Osman and some other kid. in the water swimming.
Oh.
In some other spot.
What's the date on that?
They're inconclusive.
Okay.
But people have theories that it was the same afternoon as their hike up the mountain.
Oh. So maybe they did come back to town.
Right. And the kid in the photo, this kid who drowned is in the photo.
Yeah.
He's part of what's locally known as like...
The Padilla?
The Padilla. Yeah.
Padilla. Yeah.
Is that a gang or is that a...
Well, it's kind of like a group. Although my understanding was that he was acquainted with them, not that necessarily he was a part of them.
Right.
That he wanted to be, but...
Oh, it's like a gang initiation thing?
I mean, what ended up happening, they saw him.
Who's they?
The group of friends, which actually included Feliciano's son.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of his friends, they were part of that group. And they had seen him.
With the girls.
With the girls.
And the day of the hike.
I think it was the day of the hike. And because they had seen him or he had seen them, it's theorized that they had to get rid of him so that he wouldn't be available to talk about being, about anybody seeing them with Lisanne.
Oh, you're saying other people were with the girls and this guy saw that and thought he would speak up.
Right.
But I thought he was part of the search. Wouldn't he have spoken up then? No.
I don't know.
And the people that saw them in the
village, he may not have said anything because
scared.
Right. But they saw him and he saw them.
When you say they and them.
The group.
The pronoun.
The Padilla.
Okay.
The group, the Padilla,
the gang.
Right. Feliciano's son.
Feliciano's son, the tour guide's son is part of the gang. Interesting.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like everyone, what, is it a gang? Is it just a bunch of kids hanging out? Like,
right, right.
We don't know.
His dad's so mad. He's like, you are so bad for my tour business.
Right.
You and your gang.
Well, incidentally, he was also suspected in...
Feliciano.
The girl's disappearance.
Okay.
In fact, the journalist in that article that I was just talking about, Feliciano had actually threatened him.
Oh.
And Feliciano, incidentally, had even threatened a local there and said, don't speak to anybody about those girls.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The journalist, you said that he, at one point, was like...
It's an accident.
Convinced it was an accident. Then he started to get more information.
Yeah. Right.
So he went back, I guess? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now people are threatening him and lying and whatever. Yeah. Okay.
So there's a theory that these guys in their 20s, the least incredibly dark version of it is that they took the girls to this swimming area and then sexually assaulted them, murdered them, drove their bodies far away, bleached bones of one of them. Why not the other? We don't know. Put them in the river, you know.
Right.
The more extreme version is that this area is also known for organ harvesting.
Okay.
And at least one of these guys is associated with this guy, Edwin, who's a local organ trafficking spotter and harvester.
Gotcha.
They actually have a witness who gave testimony around this and then fled. This woman immediately fled to Costa Rica. And there's a couple of people who said that they definitely saw the girls at the drugstore in Boquete after the trip up the mountain. One of the guys in this little gang of five is the pharmacist's son, George Rivera, who says he doesn't know anything. And the footage from that day, even though it's a 30-day rolling deletion camera from the pharmacy, the footage from that day is deleted. So not only does the kid Osman, who has photos of the girls on his phone, end up drowned, George, the pharmacist's son...
He ends up drowned,
ends
too.
Up drowned.
Yeah, nobody knows how to swim all of a sudden.
The George Murgis, another kid in the group, ends up drowned.
Three kids.
The taxi driver, Leonardo, who dropped the girls off at the trail, ends up getting hit in a very strange traffic accident and dying. So... Of the five in this group, the only one still alive is Feliciano's son.
Uh-huh.
who locals describe as...
We should play like the piano part of Layla during this section. It's like fucking Goodfellas. All these people showing up dead.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And locals describe him as
a hothead.
Somewhere like between hothead and psychopath.
Okay.
And we know that there is connections to this organ harvesting group. We know that women go missing in this area all the time. Femicide is a real problem there.
Hmm.
I mean, the girls, too, incidentally, had been acquainted with these guys and hung out with them. And in fact...
I mean, while they were there.
Yeah.
Right.
And in fact, bought weed from one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was suggested, too, by another journalist of South American descent. She'd actually did a podcast, her
I know
and...
Her name is Mariana Atencio. It's a podcast.
Mariana Atencio.
I'm just trying to say it again. Mariana Atencio.
Mariana Atencio, yes.
She did a really fantastic
podcast. She did a deep dive into this case.
Like a whole season called Lost in Panama.
Right. With,
I've heard of that.
With Jeremy Kreit, who was the...
Daily Beast guy.
Right.
Yeah. It's an incredible podcast, but she also... Her experience making the show, making the podcast while she was in Panama... was harrowing. You know, this woman's been in crazy war-torn places and stuff. She's never had people threaten her or feel as threatened as she did while making this.
Right. And this is all that town where they were going for their little...
Yeah.
So is there more?
Well, they sent an investigator, a team of forensics investigators from the Netherlands in January 2015, mm-hmm. so about 8 months after. You know, there's new information seems to have come about. So there's a question of like, can we just go investigate further? At this point, we don't know exactly what happened.
Right. And everybody's turning up dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they actually go, and a guy named Frank Vandergoot, who's the team leader, a very experienced forensics investigator from the Netherlands, literally walks the Pianista Trail, you know, where their phones show they were.
Sure.
And he says, you cannot get lost on this trail. He actually says, this simply is not an area where you could get lost. Anyone who is suggesting the girls lost their way and claiming this to be a possibility has simply never physically been on the trail. He says they must have fallen off the trail and landed below with the remains and belonging ending up in the river. So his answer is technically correct, but it leaves out a whole bunch of weird things like why were the phones in the backpack working? Why were their bones found so far away?
Mm-hmm.
What's with the night photos? They don't really look like they're taken by a riverbank. They look more like they're in the jungle. So, you know,
do organs have to be alive? Like, do you have to be alive?
I think you can be recently deceased, and they bring this up. They said it's a very complicated thing, but they believe that there's a capability to do this around that area because it's an organ harvesting area.
Just like wondering if they actually fell off the thing and then they found the bodies and then ripped them open and did something.
No, you would have had to have them. They would be too damaged. And
Yeah.
It's a crazy case because we don't know what happened.
Does anybody get accountable?
Well, not really. I mean, like, there's that missing photo that they're trying to figure out what that is. They say maybe that photo that's missing from her phone maybe was taken at the same spot where the kid who was drowned's photo is of them swimming.
So caught these people on it or whatever.
Yeah, and maybe they deleted it so there wouldn't be evidence, you know.
Why would the backpack, if it was like potentially evidence with all these things, why would it be just left?
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
now you're a suspect again, Kim, because this is how you hide, this is how you hide cookies.
Well, they think maybe it's because they were trying to show, look, their bodies ended up down here. Here's their backpack, and they believe that most people who were investigating this initially, you know, outsiders were like, this was an accident, or maybe at worst, mm-hmm. someone took advantage of girls who got lost. Most everyone at this point has swung pretty hard to, this seems like some kind of organized shit, that there's a major cover-up going on. So the things like the backpack, scattering the bones around, like all these things.
I mean,
it was
suggested that those were planted there.
Planted, yeah.
That was
some...
Right, they hacked them up, took the organs, and then put the pieces.
And that the local authorities and police have a very vested interest in not making this seem like a bad place to go, right? Because tourism is a huge part of their... community. So
Wow. All right, so this is where it ends, or no?
Hey, this is Kim. You know me. I love a good true crime podcast. Well, I'm not the only one who's excited for The Burden, a new true crime series from Orbit Media, the folks who brought you the number one hit, Empire on Blood. Anyway, The Burden tells the story of Detective Louis Chlorella, once celebrated for solving the toughest cases in New York City in the 90s. But things took a turn when a group of convicted murderers, all claiming to be innocent, became jailhouse lawyers and began investigating the investigator. Turns out they uncovered all kinds of issues with Detective Chlorella's involvement in dozens of cases, which led to the release of over 20 people he helped convict. Not only that, but the government had to pay out a record-breaking $150 million in wrongful conviction settlements, with more to come. The question is, can these potentially wrongly convicted murderers get themselves released too? You'll have to listen to find out. The Burden, which includes first-time interviews with Detective Chlorella himself, is out now with new episodes every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt Harris. Seton Tucker and I host the podcast Impact of Influence, which for 2 years covered in depth Alec Murdoch, who was eventually convicted in 2023 of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul. That story continues to evolve, and we will cover that. Plus, we will tell you stories of other true crime events that have happened in the South. Please join us on Impact of Influence and give us a follow on the Impact of Influence Facebook page.
Pretty much.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Super sad.
There's no concrete. There's all these different theories swirling around.
Obviously, this isn't the first time it's happened. You said young women are constantly.
Yeah.
And then, but here's the thing, like these two girls, right? It leads to four local people being probably killed. Like something went horribly wrong, even in their little conspiracy or whatever. Something got fucked up.
Yeah, something. Yeah. A lot. I mean, that's the least of the things that went wrong, but yeah, something.
But I'm just
whatever
saying,
was like, supposed to happen didn't happen.
What I'm saying is, like, that tells me, like, oh, there's definitely more to it when locals are going up.
Right.
I mean, well, and you could tell if somebody drowned or was killed before they were in the water. Did they ever do any kind of autopsy on those bodies? Or
again, a lot of these, you know.
They don't care.
By the way, the drownings are ridiculous. Like, when you look at the photos, because they put all their dead people photos in the newspaper there. Like, one drowning is, like, the guy's body is on shore, and it's just his head is in the water. Like, it's not a drowning.
Like, in the toilet. Like,
right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
In the Lost in Panama podcast, they had even taken the remains of Lisanne and Chris and had it evaluated by a medical examiner in Costa Rica. It was inconclusive because you can't. When you don't have the whole body, you really can't make a determination of cause of death.
Right.
And the thing that kind of stayed with me about her determination and what she had offered in terms of her opinion was that there can be different stages of decomposition.
Right. You mean like the bleaching effect or something?
Right.
Right. Well, okay, that's the end, or whatever. I guess we'll do takeaway. Here's my takeaway. You live in the Netherlands. It's a beautiful place. Amsterdam is an awesome place. Stay there. It's so nice. I would love to go there. I don't want to go into the jungles of Panama.
Yeah.
I mean, you think you're trying to help.
Yeah.
No good deed.
No.
But, well, Costa Rica seemed nice.
I've been to Costa Rica, had a great time. It's a beautiful place. I've never been to Panama, but I had a wonderful time in Costa Rica. Everybody we met was cool.
But also that shit, like, you know, like you said, like, oh, it turns out this area is known for women disappearing or being killed. And, oh, organ harvesting also.
Which aren't things you really necessarily think to look for before you go somewhere.
No, it's not on TripAdvisor.
No.
Kim, what do you think?
Look, I'm no fun, so I am like, don't go to the jungle. Just no. Right. But, you know, that's what it is to be young, though, to have these adventures and to...
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, just be hypervigilant. And it was a time when, you know, cell phones aren't as pervasive then as it is now. But I imagine that there's probably still not great cell service. You just have to be super, super careful. And
yeah, but you can be super careful and still bad things happen. Anyway, Joe, you got any takeaway?
I don't know. This just sucks. I don't think there's any clear takeaway for me from this one. I hate the story. It's really bad for the girls and their families. It just seems like unavoidably bad situation. I don't have any tips from this one.
You gotta have a happier ending.
I will say, if you want to learn more about this one, there are some deeply researched rabbit holes. If you Google this case, there are people who have done incredible investigative work trying to figure this out, like really thoughtful work, latitude, longitude, photos, right, cross-referencing. I mean, people, there's like bordering on scholarly. So this is a case, if you want to know more, definitely check out Mariana Atencio's podcast series, Lost in Panama. Right. It's a really personal and great dive into it. And then online, there's just tons of information.
Right. Well, I'm also going to give a hats off to you two, Tim, Jerry. You guys did a really nice job. Like, there's a lot to this, and you guys did really great job bringing this one to bum me out. All right.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for listening to Slaycation, and we'll catch you on the next one.
We'll see you next time.
All right.